as far back as I can remember, and knowing my family probably long before then, songs, music has been a very active part in my life. It was something we had growing up in the house, something we'd had as we traveled. We engaged in singing and playing. Music has been an active part of my life, as I said, as long as I can remember. I know there's some people in the world that don't understand that, and I don't understand those people. I honestly don't. I don't know how you can live life without finding music. But that may just be because of my personal experience. And a major portion of that music has been psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And that's one of the reasons that I do this series of lessons on the first Sunday of the month, talking about our songs. Certainly, as we began this series, there were many songs that some had asked me questions about. And I keep getting questions about songs and phrases in songs, and we'll continue to look at these as long as I got songs to talk about, or you got questions to ask about songs. Unless somebody says, hey, we need to find another series to do on the first of the month, and then I'll move it to another Sunday. I say that because the song we have this morning, while it's always been a song that I have enjoyed, it's beautiful harmony, excellent message, it's been a song that I've enjoyed. In more recent years, it has become a very close companion that I hold in my mind constantly. And that is the song, and y'all are looking at the end and you're supposed to be at the beginning. Let's go back here. I don't want to confuse people. That is the song, Abide With Me. 16 years ago when we lost our daughter to a car wreck, this song came to mind. It was one that we were listening to from one of the a cappella groups we hear. And it just stuck in my mind. It and the song I Need Thee Every Hour were songs that just rotated through my mind over and over again. And when Dad was in the hospital bed back a few years ago, these songs came back to my congregation. When we lost them, those are songs that continue to rotate through my head. And just last fall when we got JB's cancer diagnosis, it set itself up as a regular repeat on the music box that plays in my mind, I guess is the best way to put it. Now, I'll be honest with you, it mixes with some weird stuff sometimes, but that song is a constant reminder. And I think it is a song that can be a comfort and a help to us. I had a long list of songs I've gotten from various ones, and I had two at the top. And this was the top one I had with my name on it. I've already talked about the other, and I couldn't tell you which one it was now. But I wanted to talk about this one this morning, and the text that I had asked Brother Malcolm to read for us there in John chapter 14 is a reminder that Jesus promises to be with us. I will not leave you as orphans, He told the apostles. He's promised to be with us. And so this is a song that, as I see it, it's a prayer to God to have Him in our lives always, but especially during times of trouble. Now this song was written, I think it was 1820, it tells there in the songbook, by Mr. Henry Francis Light. And it's actually a 8-stanza poem, and we only use a few stanzas of that poem in our songbooks. And I want to read the whole poem as we get started this morning. I don't often do that, but this has some meaning, and I think it's important that we consider what it has to say, and certainly we're going to see how it fits perfectly in many instances with what God has revealed to us in His Word. It says, Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day, earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay and all around I see, oh, thou who changest not, abide with me. Not a brief glance, I beg, a passing word, but as thou dwelt'st with thy disciples, Lord, familiar, condescending, patient, free, come not to sojourn, but abide with me. Come not in terror as the King of Kings, but kind and good with healing in thy wings. Tears for all woes, a heart for every plea. Come, friend of sinners, thus abide with me. Thou, O my head, in early youth didst smile, and though rebellious and perverse, meanwhile, thou hast not left me oft as I left thee. On to the close, O Lord, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. I fear no foe with thee at my hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Each stanza reminds us that our struggle through this life is going to be easier if we have God in us. We need God living in us. Now, there's three stanzas there that you probably never heard before, unless you go researching songs or poems. They're not in any of the song books that I've ever used, not in any that I know of, and there are some phrases in there that really hit me pretty hard. You've not left me as often as I left you. When I was young, you know, some of those things. But they really don't fit well with our corporate worship, with our assemblies sometimes. And I suspect that's why they're not found in our psalm books. Stanzas 1 and 2 and 6 are what's found in our books. And of course you noticed that. We just got through singing that song. The last two stanzas are also found in some of the hymn books that I've used in the past. I didn't go double check. It may be in the yellow books that we used to have. But there's a few of the psalm books that have all five of those verses. But the overwhelming idea in all of this, and that's what we want to look at. I'm not going to look at this verse by verse or phrase by phrase. I want to look at the overwhelming idea. And the overwhelming idea in all of this is when darkness comes upon us, our troubles and trials, they begin to overwhelm us. But if we can have God within us, we can know that we can pass through them. When sickness and age begin to sap our strength and take away our joy, we feel vulnerable and weak, knowing that God is here with us. There's a benefit to us. It gives us strength. It gives us courage. It helps us to stand up when we really want to just fall down and give up sometimes. When we seem surrounded by, well, maybe I shouldn't say that. When we are surrounded by wickedness and temptation, and it seems to be just so much that resistance is futile. Just trying to overcome those things, trying to not be overwhelmed with them is just too much. If we have God within us, we can overcome. That's one of the things we learned in reading those seven letters to the churches in the book of Revelation. In fact, that's part of the book of Revelation, part of the message of the book of Revelation. If you are with God, you can overcome these things. And God will be with us if we are with Him. That's why I see this as a prayer to God. Praying to God, God, will you please live in me. And I want us to note that word abide. That one of the phrases there was not to sojourn, but to dwell, to live, to abide with me. We know when the Israelites came out of Egypt, they dwelt in tents. They had dwellings, they dwelt in those tents, but those tents picked up, carried away. What they were looking for was a permanent abode. When they built houses, that was an abode. That was the place where they lived. Many of us through our life have had temporary places. And most of us are fortunate that we now have a permanent place here upon this earth where we stay. It's where we live. It is our abode. And that's what we want with God. We want Him to come into our life and stay. Never leave. Because with God living within us, with God walking beside us and giving us the strength, we can overcome anything. He is our strength and our stability. In fact, the psalmist tells us that God is the same no matter what's going on in our life. We can count on Him to always be the same and to be a strength and to have stability in our lives. Certainly, Psalm 23 is one of those psalms that reminds us of that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Every time I read that phrase, you prepare a table before me in the midst of my enemies, I think of Israel crossing the Jordan and then observing the Passover in the land of Canaan, full of enemies. God protected them. He cared for them. He watches over them. In Psalm 102, beginning of verse 25, the psalmist says, "Of old You founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. Even they will perish, but You endure. And all of them will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be changed. But You are the same, and Your years will not come to an end. The children of Your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before You." Note that You created the earth, but the earth is going to die. The earth is going away. Anything here upon this earth that causes us a problem, we can know for certain there's a time coming when it will no longer be a problem. It'll die. It'll fade. It will corrode. It will turn to dust. But God is always there. Always as strong as He ever has been. Always as steadfast as He always has been. Sometimes when I pray at night, I thank God for our house and the protection and security, the safety that I feel there. But, you know, the brick on that house has got some cracks in it. You go look at a few spots, the driveway concrete's kind of like this, and I wonder if maybe the house foundation's like this. And you look at some of the boards, and they're not, you know. One of these days, it'll be gone. There's many people who've lost their homes that they thought were a place of safety and protection. God is our place of safety and protection. He is our strength. He is what holds us up. In studying for this, I was turned to Psalm 91. We have 16 verses in this psalm, but I'm going to read the whole thing because this psalm really fits the things that we see in this song, "Abide With Me." Psalm 91, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord, my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because He has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him with a long life. I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. I urge you to take some time this afternoon or one day this week and read through that a couple of times. And you can notice the changes in where the pronouns are talking about us, where the pronouns are talking about God, and get a better idea of what that says. But it basically the same message that we have in the song, Abide With Me. God is our protector. He is our shield. He is our strength. But I hope you noted, all of those blessings from God were dependent upon me dwelling with Him, on me calling His name. God made a promise to Israel through Moses in Exodus chapter 33. This is after Moses had come down from the mount and found them worshiping the golden calf and had destroyed all of that. And God had expressed His anger and told Moses, I'm ready to just destroy these people. And Moses said, no, don't do that. And I'm paraphrasing a whole lot there, just so you know, in case you missed it. And God says, okay. In Exodus 33, beginning in verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. Moses says, God, you've talked about how I found favor with you. You look down upon me and you've known, you know who I am. But I need to know your ways. I need to know what you're asking me to do. I need to know what you're doing. What Moses is saying is, God, are you going to send me out by myself? Because the answer we get, God said, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. And later on, when Joshua is made the leader of the people of Israel, God tells him basically the same thing. I will go with you like I went with Moses. Moses said, God, be with me. But we know that all of these things are conditional. We turn again to the Old Testament, to the time of Solomon. Solomon is king after his father David. Solomon has been given wisdom because he said, God, when God said, what can I do for you? What can I give you? He said, God, give me wisdom so I can rule your people. And God said, certainly. I'll also give you riches. You'll be greater than any king before or after. And Solomon built the temple of God. And when they finished the temple and they offered the sacrifices, they consecrated the temple, set it apart. Solomon prayed to God. And in 1 Kings chapter 9, beginning in verse 4, God responds. As for you, if you will walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I've commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my ordinances. Do you notice all that? If you will, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever. Just as I promised your father David, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons indeed turn away from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them and the house which I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight. So Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And of course, we've already read and studied where Solomon failed, his sons failed, many failed thereafter. As a result, the northern 10 tribes were cast completely out. And as we're studying in the book of Jeremiah, we're just starting to get into Jeremiah's repent and turn to God message. We find that they continued to fail until God sent them into captivity. And the temple was destroyed. It's conditional. God's promises have always been conditional. When Jesus spoke to His apostles on that final night, in John chapter 15, we have the, I'm the vine and you are the branches. And beginning in verse 4, we read, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If you're not abiding in the vine, you don't get the benefits of the vine. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, in verse 7, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And in verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Now look at that in light of what chapter 14 and verse 23 says. It was in our reading this morning. Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot, and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Note, that starts with if. That's a conditional word. If. That means, if not, I don't. If I keep His commands, make His word a part of my heart, He will abide with me. If I don't keep His word, keep His commands and make His word a part of my heart, a part of my daily life, I am on my own. And no amount of crying to God will provide me with anything unless I submit to God. Promises are conditional. Certainly we all recognize Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20 as being the closing part of the book of Matthew, and it is immediately following the great commission that was given to the apostles. Jesus told them, I've been given all power in heaven and earth. If they were to go and teach all nations, to make disciples, to baptize those who believe, and to teach them to observe all I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus has promised to be with us. But in order for us to take advantage of those promises, we have to be with Him. John in his epistles talks about this a great deal. In fact, the epistle of 1 John is just filled with statements that say, keep the commandments of God and God will be with you. I mean, it says it in a lot of different ways, but that's basically what we find there. If you love God, you will keep His commandments. If you keep His commandments, He'll be with you. If you love God, He'll love you. Conditional. And conditions, as we've already made mention of, that means we got a choice. And we can either meet the conditions and receive the blessings, or we can ignore the conditions. And we need to know that if we do that, we don't get the blessings. My wife says there's a pecan pie, and if you'll come sit at the table, I'll give you a piece of pecan pie. I'm pretty sure I'm going to set myself down to that table pretty quick. Because she didn't say there's a pecan pie and I'll bring it to you without you doing anything. She said if you'll sit down at the table, I'll give you some pecan pie. Now, we understand conditions. But sometimes it seems we completely forget about conditions when we start reading what God's Word says. John says in 1 John chapter 2 verse 4, the one who says, I've come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. You cannot know Jesus and refuse to keep His commandments. Your knowledge is lacking. But whosoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected, had made complete, fulfilled, finished. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. And remember what John said in chapter 1. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship. The blood of Christ cleanses you. If you say you know Him but you don't keep His commandments, you don't really know Him. But if you keep His word, He will walk with you. The one who keeps His commandments abides in Him and He in him. And I know you read that, Him, He, Him, which is what? Well, the one who keeps God's commandments abides in God and God in that one. 1 John 3 and verse 24. We know by this that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Do you have the Word of God in you? Is that what's guiding your life? Are you keeping His commandments? Then God is with you. 2 John in verse 9, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Note, conditional. Because of that, it should impress upon us the need to make sure that our hearts are filled, our minds are filled with the Word of God. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6 says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Don't let the distractions and things of this world, shiny things, fill your mind. Fill your mind with Christ. Focus on Him. Because He is the only helper you have that is consistent. Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Or yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Maybe the order it's at. Earlier in the book of Hebrews. In You know, through the years, I've turned to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 to talk about the importance of singing praises to God. And I'm ashamed to say many times I didn't include verse 18, but I think it's just as important, if not more important to us than verse 19. And it touches on this idea. Do not get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Don't get caught up in all the pleasures and things of this life. Don't let them fill your heart. Fill your heart with the Spirit. Fill your heart with the Word of God. In fact, as I've said in the past, fill your heart and mind with the words of God so much that you can't help but let it out in song. When someone comes to you with a question or with a thought, a problem, a difficulty, do you respond with God's Word? Or are you more filled with the advice and teachings of men, and so you respond with those things? Now, somebody's going to walk away and say, Dan said, teachings of men, they won't help you with anything. I didn't say that. If I want to know about electricity, I can go talk to Brother Bill and I can be confident he'll set me straight. There's lots of human wisdom that is helpful to us. And I'm not saying, you know, we have to have a Bible verse for how to fix our car. But when someone comes to you with a struggle in life, do you think of man's ideas or do you think of God's ideas? Because God has given us in His Word everything we need to overcome our struggles and trials in this life. I want God to live in me. Abide with me, I cry to God. And John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, beginning of verse 13, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He's given us of His Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. We have come to know and believe, or have believed, the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in Him. Now, I'm well aware that as we studied the book of 1 John, we made acknowledgement there were folks who were going around that saying that Jesus was a human. That Jesus was just a man. That Jesus wasn't anything special, or that He was just a spirit. And what John is saying here, if you've heard and believe the gospel, you know about God. You know that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Do you testify that? Do you live in accordance with that? That's how we know if we abide in God and God in us. Am I living according to His commands and His teachings? Not just when I come together with the brethren on Sunday morning, or Sunday night and Wednesday night, or during the gospel meeting, less than 2 months away, by the way. Do I live with God on Monday morning? On Wednesday when I go to Walmart to buy groceries? Well, maybe you go on Friday, I don't know, Saturday. Do I live with God? At the workplace, at the schoolhouse, in the community center, out in the middle of the field with nobody else around, when I'm sitting at home in the recliner. Do I live with God? That's what John says. We can know that we abide in Him, and we can know that He abides in us by whether or not we meet the conditions. And the conditions is follow His command. Love like God loved. Do we have God abiding in us? And I'll tell you what, as we kind of alluded to when we got started this morning, this promise is no greater help than when we face death. Whether it is our own or the death of our loved ones, of our dear friends, whether it is at the point of we know there's not any more time left, or when disease comes and we begin to think about it because we recognize we are creatures who gradually decline, or sometimes quickly decline. You know, we're real good about doing well. And all of us, well, maybe there's a few of us, still think we're younger than we are. We get caught off guard every now and then because we go to do something and we do it. Well, I can't do this as long as I used to. I'm not as able as I was. Sometimes that catches us off guard because some of us still think we're in our 30s and 40s when we're already in our 60s. Or 50s. And when we get that wake-up call, that whatever it is that causes us to stop and think, wait a minute, I'm going to die one day. Might be now. Might be later. But for the great majority of us here in this auditorium, we're already past the halfway point. And it's possible some of us have already hit three quarters. And when we hit that, we need God. There is no greater time that this promise is a help than when we face the frailty of our human condition. Paul told the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 55, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in what? In the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. You ever gone to the doctor with something wrong, some sickness, and he gives you something to make it better, and it doesn't work? You ever decided that I need to exercise and get back in shape, and you find a YouTube video that says, here's how you do it, and it doesn't work? I can guarantee you that your work for the Lord will be profitable always. Our labor in Him is not in vain. And therefore, if we put our hope in Him, we have power over sin through the death of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have power over temptation through the Word of God to guide us and direct us. And if we fill ourselves with God's Word, God will be with us. I've been back and forth about whether to say this or not, but I'm going to say it anyway. I hope you take it in the right way. Do you feel God within you? Now, I'm not talking about the still small voice that comes in the middle of the night. I'm not talking about some kind of fancy indwelling like so many religious folks talk about. Do you feel God in your mind. I'm talking about, do you have enough of God's Word, and are you guiding your life by God's Word consistently enough and powerfully enough that He's the one that is in charge? That you turn to Him for your answers. That you can look at the decisions that you have made in the last week and know that especially those that matter, they came from your understanding and knowledge of the Word of God. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about, do you feel God within you? When you pray to God and ask Him to be with you, to abide with me, do you feel a release a little bit? A sense of comfort? Because now you've placed things in God's hands? It doesn't keep you from taking action. It doesn't mean that you'll never mess up. Because some of us can look at the right answer in our face and still do something stupid. Some of us can read the instructions that says put slot A in, or put tab A into slot B, and we pick up tab B and put it into slot A. But we can still mess up. But do you feel God in your life? Is He an overwhelming presence? I'm convinced He can be. And the more time we spend in the Word of God, the more comfort we will have by having God in our lives. And when the difficult times come, we won't be the guy in the hole that's never talked to God and cry out to God and say, God, I need to make a deal with you so you can get me out of this hole. We'll have already been talking to God all along, and we will know that He is there to help. We might realize we're in that hole to teach us a lesson. We will know. God will answer the call of His children. But He will not answer those who turn their back on Him. Behold, the Lord's hand is not slack. He's not hard of hearing. Your problem, Israel, Isaiah told him in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, is you've committed sin. And they've built a wall between you and God. And He will not listen. Sin will build a wall between us and God, and God will not hear. And until we tear that wall down, until we recognize that we need to come to God, well, the image we often have, we come to God crawling on our knees, begging, Lord, please forgive me. And if you're like me, sometimes part of that might be, I know I've been stupid. Please help me overcome my ignorance. Until we come to God recognizing that we have to submit to Him completely, He may not hear our plea to abide with us. And so what we need to do is make sure now that we are following God's Word. His Word is very easy to find, it is very easy to understand, and it's very easy to submit to. Accept Jesus as the Savior. That He's the one God sent to die on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for our sins. That He lived a perfect life, and that He died on Calvary's cross to shed the blood necessary for the sins that we've committed. And that He rose on the third day. Just like was promised. And that because of His resurrection, He now sits at the right hand of God, ruling over all things. He has authority over all things. And I'm willing to submit to His authority by being obedient to His Word. So, what does He want me to do? Well, Peter told those Jews on the day of Pentecost who recognized they had sinned, they had crucified the Savior, and cried out, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name for the remission of sins, in the name of Jesus Christ." Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, every one of you. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to confess that before men and before God? Then you can be saved. Turn away. Turn away from yourself. Turn away from the world. Turn away from your family, if necessary. And come back to God. We talked about repentance in an earlier lesson. It's not just stopping. It's turning around and going back to God. And you can be saved. If you've taken those steps in the past and you're a child of God and you have strayed, you're in the situation that Israel was in. Your sins have built a wall between you and God. Come back to Him begging forgiveness. Repenting. Changing. Changing your life. Making a concerted effort and a decision of will that I'm going to know more about God's Word so that I can faithfully follow Him the rest of my days. And He will be with me all the way. He will lift me up when I fall down. He will be a staff to support me when things get hard. And when my life here upon this earth comes to an end, no matter what may bring it about, He will wait for me to come to Him in glory. And I will, as we sing in some songs, pass over Jordan and enter into the joys of my Lord because I have served Him. His promises are conditional. Will you meet the conditions? Can we help you with that this morning? If you need the salvation of the gospel, come and let your desires be known while we stand and sing for your encouragement.